Tanur, if you can't, then at least we run. So that is obviously very, very important. That comes first. Get everything in order. So when we reach Allah Ta'ala, then we go with a clean slate. We're not owing. Otherwise, you have to make a bequest when you're about to die. You was reading, you never finish. Then how many years outstanding? You have to write it down. So your executor of your estate knows that that has to be discharged straight away. From the one third of the estate, it has to come out, that money. Some people have 10 years qadha, 20 years qadha, 30 years qadha. By the time they finish paying all that money, there's not too much left for the heirs after that. Don't do like that. So one namaz is 30 rand today. Six namazes a day is 180 rand you're owing Allah. So by the time you die, how much you're owing Allah? So don't do that. You make sure that you don't sleep until namaz is performed. Until namaz is not finished, there must be bechani in the bed. Not at peace. I never read my salat. How can I sleep? I never read my isha. How can I sleep? I never read my maghrib. How can I eat? No. That comes first. No matter what happens, never be ghafil of farais, of salawat. So that's husna ibadat, that the mashaykh make targheeb all the time. We do it on all our bayans. Our whole essence is targheeb. Right? Then we also speak about husni akhlaq, good character. So that the opposite of akhlaq hamida is akhlaq zamima, bad character. Zam, from the word zam, people look down on you because of your bad character. Does anybody like to be looked down upon? Nobody likes to be looked down upon. But if our character is bad, what's the outcome going to be? Nobody will look at that with an eye of respect at us. They'll say, ye aadmi aisa hai. Ye kaam karta hai, ye dhanda karta hai. Nobody will afford your respect. You don't deserve it. Your akhlaq is not in order. So akhlaq has to come right also. That's very important. And one is husn mu'asharat, which we don't speak about so often. Our interaction with one another, it must also be beautiful. In everything in life, no matter who it is, whether it's between an employer, employee, whether it's a husband and wife, whatever it is, one brother to a next brother, father to a son, mu'asharat must be right. Now, we don't talk about that, but it's very important. You know, your person who's in charge, is he has a responsibility. If you're the head of your household, you are responsible for your household. You are responsible for your wife, you're responsible for your children, you're responsible for your old parents, you're responsible. You can't just have a lackadaisical approach, don't care attitude. You are in charge, you must make fikr. Imagine you running an institution and you're not worried whether the children ate food. You not deserve it to run that institution. Because your job, your responsibility for those people stand in your care. You have to ensure. You must make fikr. Until they don't eat, I won't be at peace. Until they don't have all the nizam that's required, I won't be at peace. To Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look at the istidlal he makes now. He says, look at this. Musa alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala called him to Kohe Tur, to the mountain of Tur. Allah wants to make mulaqat, talk to Musa alayhi salam, to make kalam with Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, when he is going to the mountain, what does Musa alayhi salatu wassalam say? As the Quran says, he speaks to his brother Harun. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qala Musa li akhihi Harun akhlufni fi qawmi. Oh Musa, oh Harun, I'm going now. You become my khalifa. You become my successor. You become my substitute in my people. Why? To ensure that when I'm not around, their ma'ishat, their livelihood, their shariat, their ibadat, their mu'asharat, all that must not be affected when I'm gone. You must ensure everything is right. And today, everybody is worried about succession. When I die, who's going to run my affairs? Who'll run my business? Who'll take care of my property portfolio when I'm dead? So everybody, he has some succession planning. Big businesses. What happens there? The parents from they get their sons in, and then they start molding them, making sure they teach them the ropes. And then when the father sees my son now knows how to run the business, then he says that I'm semi-retiring. He's not retired still. So he says, I'm still semi. Semi means I still got one eye on the ball to see how what's going on. I never gave them everything. I still got one eye this side and one eye that side. Why? Because all my lifelong effort mustn't go down in vain. Otherwise it'll get lost, it'll get wasted. Now, imagine if you just leave the thing like a rudderless ship with no captain inside, and you think that after I'm gone, no succession planning, no nothing, there's the organization, understand that who's going to take the next, who's going to be in charge, what's going to happen to that organization? You have to, and then you can't just choose any successor. You got to take somebody that you have molded for a long period of time and you have i'timad over that person. Then you know that when a handover is going to good hands. Isn't it? Succession planning. Now the Nabi, he's got his own succession planning. He's got the entire ummah's fikr on his head regarding every aspect of the ummah. Now he's going to meet Allah Ta'ala, to talk to Allah Ta'ala in the mountain of Tur. He's telling his brother Harun, you become my Khalifa. You take over in my absence. And when I'm gone, what must you do? Harun akhlufni fi qawmi wa aslih. Make islah. Rok tok kya karo. People doing wrong, stop them. When somebody is doing wrong, you the leader. You can't let it go. You can't let it slip. It's your duty. It's your responsibility to ensure. Use nice words. But fix the situation. The situation has to be fixed. You can't let it slip. I've heard from my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Abrar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to say, why our condition on the ground, our muasharat, our interaction, our social life, and all our affairs are not in order? Why it's not in order? What is the core reason for that? That today, our affairs are not right. On a personal level, on a family level, on a community level, why it's not right? He says, because baro ne kehna chhod diya, aur choto ne sunna chhod diya. The elders are no more talking. They're not putting a stop to what is going wrong. They're just overlooking everything. So the elders have stopped talking and the youngsters have stopped listening. So if nobody is going to make islah, what's going to be the final outcome? Everything's going to go haywire. And that's exactly what is happening. Everything is going haywire. It's like baro ne kehna chhod diya aur choto ne sunna chhod diya. The youngsters, they don't want to listen. So the law unto themselves. I'll do what I want, whenever I want, however I want. Nobody can tell me. That's the mentality. So Hazrat said, look at this word, aslih. What is the root letters of that word? The root letters of the word is sad, lam, and ha. And if you want to make islah, then sometimes you have to make sulah also. When two people are fighting, then you become the mediator. You come a little bit here, you come a little bit here, let's meet in the center, and let's shake hands. وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ Allah says, make sulah. وَأَحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحْ So two sahaba, it was the night of Laylatul Qadr. Also, it was the night of Laylatul Qadr. So Nabi alayhi salam was coming to tell them about when is Laylatul Qadr. They were arguing. I think it was Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik and another Sahabi, Abdullah bin Hadrad. I think those two Sahaba, they were having some argument. It was not other two Sahabi, I could be mistaken now. So nevertheless, they're making noise. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. Allah ta'ala took that ilm away. He took that ilm away. When is the Laylatul Qadr? And one time he came in a masjid, two Sahaba having argument. So about money, fighting about money. So he told that fellow, make half. Make half. That means whatever you want, claiming from him, reduce it to half. Whatever your claim is. And I told the other fellow, now you accept it. Kalas. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it, they're not going to argue with him. He made sulah between the two parties. Say, what you're fighting for, couple around? Just make half your brother deceased. You lose some. It's okay. He pay a little extra to, it's okay. Make some sulah, some agreement, and solve the problem. Problem is sorted. Game over. You see? You can make sulah. And then that word also is from salahiyat. If you're going to put a successor, you can't choose anyone. You have to choose somebody who has the qualities that are required for leadership, for position, who knows how to handle people. He's got people skill. He's a man who is, he understands people. He understands the situation. And he can deal accordingly. He don't deal with all people, every person on the same level. For example, if you're running a big madrasa, then you got your senior asatiza. You have to treat them differently. They are the backbone of the institution. You understand? You can't treat everyone with the same stick. You can't. You'll never be successful in any position in life. You must work out who are the people that are driving the institution. You make them happy because they are the main people. They are the backbone. So for that you need a skill. Or you're going to take a kulhari attitude like an axe and you're going to hit your axe and wield it at everyone. There'll be nobody left. Within short time everything is finished. So if you want to choose a successor, you have to choose somebody who has the skills for it. And all that is coming out, Hazrat said, from the word aslih. Choose the right person. You're going home. You're going in safar. Now, you have people at home, you have a wife, you have children, you have old parents. What intizam have you made for their good welfare in your absence? Who will go to the mandi and buy the sabzi for them? Who will go and buy the gosh for them? You gone? You left no money? You have nobody khadim to help them, nobody to look after them, nobody to be of protection for them in the house. Allah forbid something happens. Why is it like that? Why you just went without taking care? Hazrat says, you see this light? How good the light is, we can see, mashallah. Then when the light switches off, don't you need substitute? You need a generator. Hazrat is in UP. I stayed there. UP have big problem for lights. Goes for hours and hours in India at that time. Now it's much better. Better than South Africa also, the lights. Here there's no tikana anymore for lights and water. Send that. Services are finished now. They ate up all the money. They can't fix one bridge also. We're lucky if it comes right in the next 10 years. You see? So now, are we not cared for our wife and our children? Our old mother at home? Is deen only about salawat and ibadat? Or is this not deen? To look after. Then if there's a generator at home, how will the wife start the generator? How she knows how to start the generator? Now the lights are gone. We look parishan hai. There's nobody to take care of all that. So that's not right at all. So we have to have some fikr for those people. A person has a job. He's working for somebody. employee, Abu Husaymi, they had a tiff in a shop. The employer told him something. He's not happy. Husaymi, I'm leaving the job, I'm going. Spur of the moment. Istifa Dediya. Handed in, resignation. Why did you do that? You got a wife at home. You got children at home. How are you going to survive? Who's going to pay the rent? Who's going to pay the water? Who's going to pay the lights? Why did you act on impulse? Why didn't you think first, okay, I'm not happy here. Let me find a better job first. After I find a better job, then I will tender my resignation. So that the people, the women at home, they don't become parishan. You got old parents at home. You gave in your resignation. You don't know where you're going tomorrow. Where are you going to get employment tomorrow? But spur of the moment, impulsive, angry, just gave your resignation. The Hazrat says, is that husn-e mu'asharat? Are you thinking straight? Is this not deen? Why didn't you first make arrangements for another alternative job somewhere first? Then hand in your resignation. The same thing will happen to an employer also. You got staff, you trained your staff. Took you so many years to train your staff. Now he's a very good staff. He gave you service for so many years. Now he got something wrong. The fellows make mistakes also. Sometimes it's not deliberate, but can happen. Person made a mistake. Tells you, boss, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Now you're blowing your top, swearing, F&B, everything like that, bringing the whole roof down. But look at the fact, how many years service he gave you. Why you never make qadr of that? And tell him, okay, be more careful next time. Now, your trained staff, on the spur of the moment, I'm firing you. Now, see what he's going to do. Say, I'm not wanted here. I gave service all these people. See, I got treated in the end. Now he left, he went away. And when he went away, you have to replace him. Now who are you going to get? Untrained person. Now going to take you another 5 years to train that fellow. In the meantime, how much headache again you going to go through? If you just make tahammul that little bit time, control your emotions for a short time, your business will be still running properly and smoothly. But no. In the same thing with the house also. That's why you must care for other people. As Mufti Sahib just read from the kitab, care for others. Make khidmat of others. Your wife, treat her well. As it says, one waqiyah of Maulana Ashrafali Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi. One day Maulana Thanwi was sleeping at home at night. Allahu Akbar. Now he hears a sound of somebody in pain. Now when somebody is in pain, you know, you take out the sound of somebody is in anguish, in pain. So Hazrat used to live upstairs. And then he came downstairs, middle of the night. So he told his Khadim's name was Suleiman. He told him, go and see, kya pareshani hai? You can see the sound is coming from the neighbor. They're in some problem. Go check up what is going on. So Khadim comes back and tells him, Hazrat, ek aurat hai wo dard zeh mein hai. There's a woman about to give birth, and what you are hearing is her cries at the time of giving birth. Acha, isa hai. So Hazrat said, all right, wait a little bit. The Muhammadullah says, ghusl was farz on Hazrat. He was in a state of janabat in the middle of the night. So he went in the middle of the night to make ghusl. Muatanwi. Middle of the night. Ek aurat pareshan. Neighbor is pareshan. My neighbor is in anguish. He went to make ghusl. After making ghusl, there's one ayat to be written in the ta'weez. He wrote the ayat in the ta'weez. And he said, take this ta'weez and go and give it to her and tell her that she must tie it on her left thigh at the time of giving the birth. So Hazrat done that. He got the ta'weez ready in the middle of the night. He wrote the ayat, tied it, said, go give it to her. The Khadim went, gave it to her. She tied it on the left thigh. And then Allah Ta'ala made the wiladat easy. the childbirth got easy for her. And then after that, he told her, once the childbirth be finished, take the taweez out. Must tell her to take it out. So Maulana Masullah says, Maulana Thanvi se zyada koi aadmi mushfiq nahi tha. No person was more affectionate than Maulana Thanvi for Allah's makhluq. Well, I mean, he sacrificed his own rest so that she can get rahat, she can get peace. Sacrifice yourself, your own peace, for the peace of the next person. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. What a ibrat. And what kind of, he was not a normal person like me and you. How much he should fear Allah Ta'ala. He's on waqiyah. Now Hazrat had two wives. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi had two wives. He had no awlad from both his wives. No children. Probably he had his first wife not getting children. So he decided he'll try to get married again. Maybe Allah will give him children. Allah never gave him children. The second wife also. So, one day, now if you have two wives, then you have to fulfill the hukuk. Hazrat says, aajkal jo hai do biwi rakhne ke bahut shauk hai. People like to keep two wives. Right. But first they want to know whether the second wife is a doctor, lawyer, whether she got education. That's what they want to know first. Why? So she can be self-sufficient. You don't have to pay for her. Are bhai naan nafaka tere zimme hai. Why you want her money? If you want a second wife, you must have the financial strength to pay for her, all her expenses. And then you must make proper justice between both the wives. So he ordered some watermelon for both his wives. So the Chaudhary Sahib came with the watermelon. He said, what's the weight of this watermelon? He said, this is the weight. He said, what's the weight of it? He said, Hazrat, main janta hu. I know. You want to make exactly. Okay, where's your scale? He said, Hazrat, there's a scale. Hazrat put it on his scale. He checked his boat right. So Hazrat told him, acha, ye to barabari ho gayi. But now, if I give this one to this house and that one to the other, this could be sweeter than that one. So one I gave a more sweeter watermelon and one I gave a less sweeter. Acha, chako liyao. Hazrat says, what's the sweetness? So Chaudhary Sahib telling Hazrat, kya main andar ghus gaya ke main kya hukam aapse? I went inside the watermelon that I tasted and can tell you which one is sweet. I can't tell you which one is sweet. One could be not sweet at all and one is sweet. So he said, Hazrat said, bring the knife. He took the knife, he cut that watermelon. And then he made it half exactly. Half of this watermelon and half of that watermelon. Sent it one house, the other half, and the other half he sent it the other house. Maulana Thanvi's taqwa. It wasn't shara'an necessary for him to do that. That was his taqwa. That was his taqwa. Maulana Thanvi's taqwa. I mean, he's a Sheikh Kabir. One of the greatest awliya of his time. So people said, Hazrat, aapne do biwi ka darwaza khol diya. You have opened the door for two wives. Hazrat said, I haven't opened the door, I have shut the door. When people see how much of I make tansif and justice between my two wives, they'll not want to take a second wife. You see? So therefore, we have to look after our family. That's very important. Husn-e mu'asharat. Quran Sharif says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. When you stay with your wife, then you must stay nicely with her. Look after her. Take care of all her needs. And make sure that we treat her, how when our daughter goes somewhere, how we expect our daughter to be treated. She's somebody else's daughter. She's an amanat in your hands. Hazrat said, وَقَيْدْ هَي تُمَارِ هَاتْ مِنْ. She's in your prison. She's in your control. لہذا ہر طرح کی راحت پہنچانے کی کوشش کرو. Give her all the راحت that you can. And a woman, what is her johar? What makes her beautiful? So Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم asked the Sahaba, what is the johar of a woman? What is that diamond quality that she has? A woman. So Sahaba not answering. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, his daughter was there. So he asked his daughter, what is that quality that makes a woman beautiful, makes a woman a diamond? Said, her iffat and paak damani. Her chastity is what makes her beautiful. Her chastity. Now this what I want to tell you is very important. This is what Hazrat said. He said, "Ye us waqt ho sakta hai jab ke wo parda nashin ho." She can only be chaste if she's in parda. Warna bahut mushkil hai. She doesn't make proper parda and she's intermingling with other men. Very difficult for her to look after her chastity. A woman that's parda nashin, she stays indoors, she stays at home, she covers herself properly, she wears the jilbab, she wears the niqab, she goes outside, she doesn't interact with ghair maharim. Inshallah, she will remain chaste. She has fikr of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat is talking about the condition on the ground. Now if that was the condition 30, 40 years ago when he's saying this, today what's the condition? With this cell phones nowadays, with these WhatsApp groups, and with the social media, by people talking openly with ghair mahram women, openly chatting. And then Instagram, following people on Instagram, men following ladies, ladies following men. What is all that? Where the chastity is going to remain? The chastity is not going to remain. So if we do not take necessary steps to ensure, pagdamani nahi rahegi. The chastity for the males also and chastity for the females also is not going to remain. Hazrat said, raat ka waqt biwi ka waqt hai. The night time belongs to the wife. Night time belongs to the wife. Whole day you gone to work. She never saw you. MashaAllah, you went to get halal tayyib rozi. You are kasbul halali faridatun ba'd al farida. To earn a halal rozi, it is compulsory. Now night time comes, she is waiting at home. Mia pahunchta hi nahi. Mia is not coming. Where is gone? He's gone to his friend's house. Friend. Ab ye kiska waqt hai? Is it the time for his friend or is the time for his wife? To Hazrat says, ye dost ka waqt nahi hai. Ye to biwi ka haq hai. The night time belongs to her. The night time doesn't belong to your friend and the paddle court. And the soccer field. That's not jaiz that. It is sinful to take away her haq. The night time belongs to her. You must go home. Your wife is waiting for you. And then, you can't change your room and go and sleep in the next room. You have to sleep in the same bed with your wife. Or Hazrat says, if there's two separate beds in the same room, it's still okay. But you can't change your room from one room to the next room. Jaiz nahi hai. Gunah hai. It's a sin. It's a sin. Change your room without permission. Yeah, different thing now. Ramzan Sharif came, you want your space of ibadat, she wants her space of ibadat. Then you'll come to some agreement that I'm going to another room to sleep. You get up 2 o'clock in the morning, my ibadat starts 3 o'clock. So that you're going to trouble me, I'm going to trouble you. And they come to some, what to alag baat hai. But on a daily basis, why you left your bed? Why you left your room? And then, if she turns her back to her husband, then the hurs of Jannat make la'nat for her. The curse of the hurs of Jannat on her. She hasn't fulfilled the haq of her husband. She hasn't fulfilled it. The hurs of Jannat are cursing her. This is very important for deen to be preserved. This is all deen. What we are talking about is all husn-e mu'asharat. It is so important. Why are the marriages breaking down today? Because we don't consider this to be deen. Halake, this is deen. Sahaba-i kiram came to Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ke Rasul, when we see people, we go to the kings, we see people making sajda by the kings. After Allah, you are the most pious. Ba'd az khuda buzruk tuhi qissa mukhtasar. After Allah, the most pious person is you. So let us make sajda by you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after I'm gone, are you going to come to my grave and make sajda? He said, no. He said, how can I, if you're not going to come to my grave after I'm gone to make sajda, then while I'm alive, I'm going to allow you to make sajda? I'm not going to allow you. Jaiz nahi. You see. But if there was anybody that should have made sajda to anyone, then Allah would have compelled the wife to make sajda to husband. Allah would have compelled the wife to make sajda to her husband. That is the level of respect the wife needs to afford the husband. That level of respect. And this side, he has to take care of every need of hers. And that side, she has to treat him like he's her, what you can say, somebody that who's total control over her. To afford him that full respect. So that is why it is very, very important that we get the mu'asharat right. And if our mu'asharat is right, then inshallah al-aziz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let our life run smoothly and everything will come right. She gives one waqiyah. There was one maulana in Saharanpur. Wo buzurg aadmi the. He was a pious person. So one day after Isha, one person asked him one masala. Ab unko samjhate, kafi waqt ho gaya. Making him understand the masala took a lot of time at night. Couple hours must have went away. Maybe some heavy, intense miras masala came away or something. So now when he went home, the house, the door is locked. Now he's knocking the door. He wants the wife to open. She's not opening. He's knocking. She's not opening. After a long time, she came. She opened. He said, "Jahan se bhi aaye, wahan chale jao." He said, "Wherever you spent all this time and came, go spend the night there. No place. Not allowing you inside the house." He said, "If it was me or you, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, we would have broken the door down." She opened the door. She said, "Go wherever you spent." Said that you late, you get out. Said that she locked the door. So, Maulana, kya karenge ab? So, a dehliz par so gaye. In front of his house, there was a platform. He went, he lied down there, he slept away there. Right. Now, Fajr time came. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. He gets up. He goes to perform his Fajr salah. When he comes back, he sees that now the house, the door is open. So he goes inside the house. He don't tell his wife one harf also. Don't fight with her, nothing. You chased me outside last night. You made me sleep in a cold, on the floor. What kind of wife you are? Nothing. Harf. Raat ka waqt, biwi ka waqt. The time at night is belongs to the wife. She was justified in what she done. So therefore, he never said one word. He just kept quiet and he went inside the house. So this is the ta'lim that Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh. These are the pearls of the khanqah. This is what they teach you there. The finer details of life make you a genuine person. Teaches you husn-e mu'asharat, husn-e mu'amalat, financial dealings, clean, pure. One day Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali said to his people who were there, how many of you that if Malikul Maut comes right now is ready to go? If he walks in right now and says, I'm okay for your life, I'm ready. How many of you ready here? None of them giving answer, jawab. Maulana Thani says, Me tayyar, I'm ready. Whenever I do a transaction, I don't leave it till tomorrow. I get it sorted out now. Khalas. I don't owe nobody 1 cent. Nobody owes me nothing. Khalas. Story over. If Malikul Maut has to walk in now, everything of mine is sorted. That's called husn-e mu'amalat. Husn-e mu'asharat. Allahu Akbar. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Sahaba, he pumped them with maqam ihsan. And ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah. Their whole life was, Allah is watching me, Allah is watching me. Sahaba. Allah, either you watching Allah or Allah is watching you. So Sahaba came to Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and told him, Allah ke Rasul, now we don't want to even go to our wives. How we can open our satr? Now we don't even feel like going in the toilet also. How we can open our satr? Allah is watching. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, this is the hukum of Allah for you to open your satr now. Because without opening your satr, you won't be able to relieve yourself. You won't have to fulfill your wife's conjugal rights. So that's Allah's hukum for you at that time. And that is the definition of an arif billah. A person who recognizes Allah. Who is a person that recognizes Allah? That right now, what is Allah's hukum over me? What is Allah's law on my head? That is, the arif recognizes that. Right now, what is my responsibility to Allah? You see? So therefore, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of fulfilling hukuk. That is deen. Some people ask, what is the khulasa and crux of the tasawuf? Aati kulladhi haqqin haqqahu. Give everyone his haqq. That is the tasawuf. That is the crux of the tasawuf. So then, one person, one buzrug, who is the mujahid? One is jihad on the battlefield. And the other mujahid is man jahada nafsahu, that makes jihad against his nafs. Fight your nafs. So there was one buzrug on the Siri of Jami Masjid, Delhi. He's saying there, Main tera banda nahi, tu mera khuda nahi. I'm not your servant and you're not my khuda. That's what he's saying there. Standing on the stair, on the footsteps of Jami Masjid, Delhi. What he's saying? Main tera banda nahi aur tu mera khuda nahi. I'm not your servant and you're not my khuda. You're not my Allah. Now whoever is walking past there, they're saying, ye to kafir hai, ye to mushrik hai, ye to baula hai. Is this fellow's gone mad? He doesn't know what he's saying. So one person said, "Bhai, don't just jump to conclusion. Let's go and ask him, what is his reference?" So he went there to ask him, "Bhai, when you are saying, Main tera banda nahi, tu mera khuda nahi, who are you talking to?" He said, "In this whole Delhi, I came across at least one akalmand I found. One person with brains is you, who came to ask me without passing fatwa on me. Son, that you at least one person of brains. Otherwise, rest of the fellows came, they passed judgmental, they have a lot of things to say, but they never even asked me, who am I referring to?" He said, "I'm talking to my own nafs. I'm telling my nafs is telling me I want halwa. So I'm telling my nafs, tu mera, main tera banda nahi, tu mera khuda nahi. You can't give me a hukam, what I must do. I'll do what I want whenever I want. You can't tell me. So I'm talking to my nafs. I'm not talking to Allah Ta'ala, I'm talking to myself." You see? So therefore, we must live in a way that our wives are happy with us, our parents are happy with us, our brothers are happy with us, so that public is happy with us. Good akhlaq. So that change the bad akhlaq to good akhlaq. And our wives, Hazrat says, when a wife looks at a husband with muhabbat, and a husband looks at a wife with muhabbat, then Allah looks on both of them with rahmat. You're looking at good muhabbat at your wife. Your wife is looking at you with muhabbat. Then Allah looks on both of them with His rahmat. Allah covers them with His rahmat. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq. Taqwa is important in our lives. They say, ek parhez so dawa, Hazrat says. Ek parhez so dawa. Dawa is like ibadat. For every 100 ibadat, sanat. Hazrat said, ek parhez. Ek parhez. One taqwa. He says, aajkal namazo ki taraf bohut ja rahe hai. Quran khub par rahe hai. That we're reading a lot of namaz. We're reading a lot of tilawat. MashaAllah, we're doing all that. But how much are we abstaining from guna? How much are we abstaining from guna? Can we abstain from guna? He said, when we ask them that question, how much you abstaining from guna? You're reading, doing all the amal, mashallah. But what is the level of abstention of guna? Say, isme ham sifar hai. We are zero. When it comes to abstention of guna, then we are zero. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq of making amal. All of us the tawfiq of making amal. Fulfilling husni ibadat also. Fulfilling husni akhlaq also. And husni muasharat. so that our relationship with other fellow human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep us on iman, strengthen our iman, strengthen our akhlaq, strengthen our mu'asharat, and give us all taqwa. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.